life of Gustavus Adolphus. Gustav Adolphus and Ebba Brahe, Part 2. From a period of a little more than 3 weeks, we have four of the king's letters dealing with this affair, one of which is to the Princess Katrina, who apparently had been in confidence for some time. The letters reflect his impulsive emotional fluctuation, his fear that the Queen Mother may again vent her ill temper upon his beloved, his relief at the news that during the last few days she has proved a little more amiable. Ebba was compelled daily and more than before to listen to malicious lies about the state of his affection. Hard-won resignation in expectation of the day which shall console me. The most important information contained in them, however, is that Gustav Adolphus has made a direct appeal to his mother, but has received only the usual dubious answer. Apparently, this was not the first time. Katrina elected to try and tire her son out. Ebba Brahe found this opposition depressing. She implored the king to think no more of her. She replied that he hoped that he should never hear or read such words from her again. Of Count Magnus's recollections, nothing is known for certainty, but it is possible, it is perhaps permissible, to hazard the guess that he played the part of a prudent politician. It was certainly difficult for him to oppose either the king or the queen mother, and the prospect of seeing his daughter queen of the country was at once dangerous and alluring. The summer of 1613 brought a decision, or rather a sort of truce. Christina had once more been heaping vehement reproaches upon Lady Ebba. Gustav Adolf, who was still unable to extract anything but evasive answers from his mother, administered comfort to his beloved. She should be plagued no longer for his sake, for he intended now that her father should take her home. Magnus Brahe, however, seemed to have kept out of the way, and his daughter remained about the queen's court. Nevertheless, Gustav Adolf was able shortly afterwards to reach a temporary settlement. As intermediary, he employed a distant connection of the House of Vasa, Duke Heinrich Julius of Saxe-Lauenburg. It had been some years served as an officer in the Swedish army. Gustavus Adolphus had no very high opinion of this rather incalculable person, and it was only recently that he had been reconciled after a violent quarrel, which had culminated in the king's dealing him a boxing of his ears, and had led subsequently to a nocturnal duel. The memory of this episode long survived, and it became the basis for rumor, which gained currency after the Battle of Lützen, to the effect that a brother of the duke, after accompanying the king in the battle, had struck him down during the melee. The duel, however, had relieved their feelings, and this confidential mission to the queen was clearly intended to be a friendly gesture on the part of the duke. This time, Christina gave a pretty good answer. She promised to speak with Ebba and ask her if she would be willing to wait a year or two longer. If the king changed his mind in the interim, she would only have herself to blame. Yet Gustav Adolf's happiness at this apparent improvement in the prospect was tempered by a shade of uncertainty. It is fairly clear that Ebba Brahe was a woman of lively and ingenuous disposition, very susceptible to the impression of the moment. Such, at all events, was her character, and after years, throughout a life which presented many alternations of sunshine and shadow. Her royal lover, having thus been bidden to wait until he was older, seems to have been principally concerned as to whether she would be able to carry off her interview with the queen successfully, in view of the fact that his mother had so rigorously limited the basis of discussion. He insisted urgently that she must say little in reply, and say it as submissively as possible. God grant that at this time you may answer in the manner pleasing to Her Majesty. At a moment when he felt their sky to be clearing, he permitted himself a mild criticism. However, it seems probable that the Lady Ebba stood the test. If there had been any fresh complications, they would have left some trace behind. The correspondence shows a long gap after this. It is certain that in these years, Gustav Adolf's opportunities for meeting the woman of his choice were few and far between. If the charming letter in which he bids her a long farewell and sends her forget-me-nots belong to the period of his departure for the Eastern Front in 1614, then there could hardly be a better proof of the unruffled harmony of their relations at the beginning of this year. This dating is no doubt disputable, but the letter from Narva, dated September 20th, was written shortly after the capture of Godov, gives further evidence of a calm and easy confidence in the king's part. Indeed, one would have said he was certain of victory. To win the favor of his beloved, he has overcome his enemies and hopes soon to be with her again. It can hardly be doubted that at the time of his return from the first Russian campaign, He was mediating a decisive settlement with the Queen Mother. The single letter of Ebba Brahe that has been preserved was in reply to one of his, in which he had advised her of his intentions to resume negotiations with his mother through the mediation of Sister Katrina. And the idea must have been to induce the queen, who had already given a half-promise, to give a definite consent to his betrothal. In the meantime, however, the situation had altered considerably. One of the most prominent young nobles in the country, Count Klaus Sturr, had sued for the hand of Ebba Brahe in due form. Magnus Brahe gave an indecisive answer, and the suitor silently withdrew. And Christina, on her side, had managed to discover a suitable wife for her son. The initiative had come from the old relatives of the family over in Hesse. In the spring and early summer of 1614, an envoy came to Sweden from Landgraf Moritz, surnamed the Wise, with instructions of high political import. His first official visit was to the Queen Mother at Nykoping. By previous arrangements, they broached the subject of this desirability of strengthening the dynastic link between the two houses through the marriage of Gustav Adolphus to one of his daughters of the Landgraf. The project was part of a plan to immediate objective of which was to secure the inclusion of Sweden into the Evangelical Union, the new league of German Protestant princes. It is only too probable that Ebba Brahe, still at court at Nykoping, knew of this marriage scheme before it reached the ears of the king, who was at the time on his way to the east. From the moment of its proposition, she must have seen in the Hessian princess, favored as she was by the queen mother, a rival who would be too strong for her. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus vs. Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32 by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.